following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey, what's up, Refuge family? I hope you guys are doing well. Decided to come to you from inside of our children's ministry today, where we are doing a lot of work and getting ready for when our children do come back together. Because I think one of the saddest things of this whole season is not seeing this room filled with a whole bunch of kids trying to memorize verses, earn little bugs, which is what they do in here. They earn bugs and they get to trade in and get little rewards for their little bugs. Some of you parents might know this because you have a house filled with little plastic creatures everywhere. And we full on plan on continuing to do that. We're going to give them so many when they come back. It's going to be one giant celebration. And something that we can ask you for prayer for all you moms and dads that are out there, be praying for our children's ministry. You know, it turns out there actually may be some things that we can do. We're waiting just to hear back a little bit more information as to what we can do to allow for some level of activity in the children's ministry. We just want to make sure we do everything safe. We want to do it with integrity. And we want to make sure that when we say we can do something that, you know, we know that we're walking right before God and just right before, you know, the rules that have been placed on us. And so I think there's a God-honoring thing when we do things with integrity like that. So anyway, be praying for us during this season. Now, besides that, we are also getting ready for online lessons, which will begin September 6th. Though we'll be posting online lessons on September 6th, two video lessons a week for you parents to do with your kids. And we'll have some more information about that coming out later. And I want to remind you that we still meet at the beach every Friday from 11 to 2 o'clock. And we also have a couple family camps coming up for the month of August. If you want any more information on any of that, go ahead and call the church. Okay, I want to talk with you today, an encouraging word today about something that I think the Lord kind of pressed on my heart, just gave me a thought about as I was sitting in my kitchen the other day and thinking about Scripture and thinking about, you know, the words of Scripture, doing the thing that Scripture tells us to do. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, you know, the Apostle Paul, while he was in prison, writing to other believers, he was saying that, you know what, you need to meditate on the things that are good, that are perfect, that are holy, that are excellent. You need to be dwelling on those things. And that's what I was doing. I was dwelling on the Word of God. And more specifically, I was dwelling on a specific story and a specific verse, which is John chapter 11, verse 35. And you may be very familiar with this verse. This verse is known as the shortest verse in the entire Bible. And it's two words, incredibly powerful words, as we'll talk about. But the two words are this: Jesus wept. Now, when you look into John chapter 11, you see this story there. You got Mary and you got Martha, and come to Jesus and they say, hey, Lazarus is gonna die. You know, Lazarus is somebody that Jesus deeply loved. And Jesus said, well, you know, through this process, God is going to be glorified, or the power of God is going to be shown. And so what ends up happening is that Jesus waits a little bit, then he goes and he visits Lazarus, which by that time he had already passed away. And there's Jesus standing on the outside of the tomb, surrounded with all of the people who are crying and who are mourning. And then Jesus himself, and two powerful words in the one shortest verse of the entire Bible, says this: Jesus wept. And I was thinking about that this week. And I was thinking about the power of weeping. And I was thinking about the idea that our mighty God, the very essence of life, who has all power and control and ability, came down in the form of a man, and Jesus, having that same power, control, ability, and knowledge, had all understanding, Jesus took time to weep. Well, why did Jesus need to weep? I mean, Jesus knew what was going on. Jesus knew what was about to happen. Why wasn't Jesus just filled with a constant joy? Why was he filled with this sorrow here? And I think it's something that we need to really think about and think that, you know what? Jesus, even though he had all power and ability and knowledge, he recognized what was happening. He recognized the deep sorrow of other people around him. He recognized the deep sadness that comes from the reality of death that we all have to face in this world. And it was through who we know Christ to be, through his love and through his compassion, that Jesus wept. And I believe when they were putting in the verses, or, you know, putting all the, where all the chapters and verses and everything went, they didn't just randomly choose and say, okay, well, we'll just make this one really short. I really, truly believe there's a deep purpose in highlighting in just two words in one verse that Jesus wept. And I think it's important for me and for you to do that same thing that Jesus did. And let me explain it like this. As I read the news and as I go to the store and I look around at the world, I can find myself at time knowing I know the scriptures. I have faith in an eternal God. I know where my eternal destiny is. I know the purpose of life right now. I have the knowledge that the scriptures give me, and I can find myself looking at people and saying, I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them that they don't understand the things of God. I feel sorry for them that they think that that is okay. I feel sorry for them that they keep trying to answer, you know, the wrong questions of life constantly, and they keep hitting dead ends. And I feel sorry for people. But I felt the Lord kind of speak to me this week and give me a little bit of word for my mind and my heart and say, well, Jonathan, if you feel sorry for people, are you mature enough to feel sorrow for them? Not just, I feel sorry for them because they don't have a knowledge or an understanding or they keep doing things wrong, but do you actually feel sorrow for them? Do you feel sorrow for the darkness that people live in? Do you feel sorrow for this world? Do you actually allow that to sink in? And that was one of my thoughts this week. And I'd say one of the meditations of my mind and heart this week was, Lord, I maybe need to do a little bit more work on feeling the sorrow, the compassion that only comes from you. That being somebody that's indwelled with your spirit, Lord, help me feel the deep love and compassion for other people. Not just say, oh, I feel sorry for them, but to actually take a moment and feel the sorrow. Now, for some of us, that can be maybe easier to do than others. Some of us are more wired where we can look at a situation and we can kind of feel, you know, the emotional impact of the situation. And some of us are not like that. We're a little bit colder to it. And life kind of does that to us. Life makes us cold. The more hard things that you face in life, it's either going to beat you up and you're going to create a hard wall around your heart, or you're going to allow some of that hardness of the world to actually soften you a little bit. And I would challenge you with this week. If you have found yourself, just like me at times, where you have become a little hard to some of the things of the world, I would challenge you to ask the Lord to start softening your heart. Ask him to allow you to start feeling some of his compassion towards other people. I think it's deeply needed right now everywhere, is that as believers, we need to act in a way that is compassionate towards other people, that is filled with mercy and filled with the love of our Lord, knowing that people see us being compassionate and acting out of love. And that is how they get to know who God is. That's how we glorify God, is by showing other people the very love of God. So that's my encouragement for you this week, that you maybe take some time to consider that today, is to step out maybe of, if you have that cynical mind in a way where you're really critical about things, is take some time, slow down, and ask the Lord to start just growing in you a compassionate heart, maybe even a compassionate heart that's willing to weep for people that are in hard situations, or even just to weep for the state of the world. And out of that weeping, out of that compassion, and out of that mercy that's growing within your heart, maybe show others the love of God. Show them the love, the kindness, the gentleness of who God is, and introduce them to the light of the Father through your own attitude of your mind and heart. All right, I love you guys. That's what I got for you today. Continue to pray for our ministries as we continue to pray for the entire congregation here at Refuge. And I pray in the future that we will be able to grow deeper together as a family, spiritually, and in relationship with each other as we come back. It's going to be a great day when we come back. It's going to be a wonderful celebration. Keep praying for us as we're praying for you. All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.